Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Infectious diseases like measles were once considered under control in developed countries, but now the World Health Organization warns that we could be facing a global measles outbreak. Measles cases have seen a sharp rise worldwide. Madagascar is suffering its worst measles outbreak in decades. More than 50,000 people have been infected and at least 300 killed. Most of them children, according to health officials. Although worse hit, Madagascar is not alone in having to tackle the virus. Measles has also struck parts of the United States and Europe, where cases tripled last year. Health authorities in the Philippines are also grappling with a measles outbreak. On the program today, we will discuss measles, as you guessed, a highly contagious viral infection. Joining us live via phone from Antananarivo, Madagascar, is Dr. Vincent Sojinou, Incident Manager with the World Health Organization in Madagascar. Dr. Sojinou, welcome to Africa 54.
Many thanks, dear journalist. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to have you on the phone. I don't know if you have your computer on listening to the show, or there is something that is creating an echo. If you want to look into that, please, we'll appreciate. But it's really wonderful to have you on the show to discuss measles today. And we have another guest joining us, and she is joining us via phone from Washington, D.C., right here. And she is Martha Ribourg. She is Executive Director of the Shot at Life Global Vaccine Access Campaign, which is a campaign of the United Nations Foundation, UNF. Martha, welcome to the program. Is Martha there? Martha Ribourg, are you there? Okay.
Yes, I am here.
Oh, okay, great. It's great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a really important topic, so I'm glad that you're reporting on this.
Absolutely, especially given what is happening now, what is trending in different parts of the world, measles outbreak around the world. What do you make of it, Martha?
Well, I have to say this is something that scientists have predicted was going to happen for a while. Measles, as you opened the show with, is an incredibly contagious disease. And the good news is that we do have the vaccine. We have the science to combat it. But unfortunately, we've seen measles rates dip in many of what you would call, what you said, developed countries. And then in many low-resource countries, which is where the UN Foundation Shot at Life program focuses on, mm-hmm. we have made great strides. Measles deaths are down by 79% since the year 2000. But there are still some problems with access.
And we'll talk about that. I mean, we have an entire 30 minutes to talk about all of this because we really want to understand what is going on. Like I said in my introduction, diseases like measles, some people are thinking maybe they're no longer around, but they are very much around, very much virulent and affecting yes. countries. So, Dr. Vincent, help us to understand how virulent measles is. I know Martha mentioned about the fact that, you know, it's really something that to be concerned with. How virulent is this virus?
Many thanks, dear journalist. I want to highlight that before the introduction of measles vaccine in 1963 and widespread vaccination, major epidemic of measles occur approximately each 2 to 3 years. And measles cause an estimated death of 2.3 million per year. This can show you how virulent is this virus. In addition, the measles outbreak can lead to many deaths. And these deaths are due to complications associated with the disease. These complications are mainly reported within children under the age of 5. As complications, we can talk about blindness, encephalitis, severe diarrhea, or other severe respiratory infections such as pneumonia. So, measles disease is a very, very, very dangerous disease.
Well, Martha, how do we understand the fact that such a viral disease that was in a decline in developed countries is being seen in the United States? There are cases in Washington State and other places. How do we understand that?
Yes, that's a great question. Well, as my colleague at the WHO pointed out, it's an incredibly contagious disease. And so what we say about measles is measles anywhere is measles everywhere, right? We live in a very globally connected world now. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody who is carrying the measles virus travels and is in contact with someone who has not been protected by a vaccine, they will get it. It is an incredibly efficient virus, as we say. Mm. So, as I said, living in this interconnected world, we have the double thing where we have Americans who are traveling abroad to countries where they may be picking it up. We have people from other countries traveling into the United States. And now we have pockets of the United States where children have not been vaccinated. So there is not that herd immunity.
Okay. And the herd immunity is when there is immunity for other people that did not get vaccinated because one group was vaccinated, right?
Exactly. It's when there is a large enough percentage of the population that's vaccinated. As we know, there are people who are immunocompromised. There are babies who are too small. You can't get all your vaccines, we know, when you're first born. So there are people who simply cannot be vaccinated, but the rest of us protect them by vaccinating those who can be vaccinated.
Okay. Now, Dr. Vincent, talk to us about the source, really. I know you explain how virulent it is, but we know, for example, that malaria is transmitted by the Anopheles mosquito, Plasmodium falciparum. What is the source of the measles virus? I mean, how do people get it? Like, besides, before even going to contamination, where is the source? If there is such a thing, how does it start, this entire process? Where?
Okay. As they said already, measles is due to a virus. Mm-hmm. This virus normally at food, direct contact, and through the air.
Okay.
The virus used to infect the respiratory tract, then spread through the body. And how the disease can be spread? The disease can be spread through coughing or sneezing, close personal contact or direct contact with infected nasal or throat secretion. So the disease is due to the virus, but we have some predisposing factors who can help this disease to affect people. And the main predisposing factor is the fact that people are not properly vaccinated against measles.
Okay. And what is the percentage of vaccination that is needed in a given community for that community to also have herd immunity?
Yes. It is demonstrated that when we have around 95% of vaccination in one community, the herd immunity will protect the remaining people. So the issue we are facing now is that the routine immunization are not leading to the high coverage in many countries or in some area within the country, and that's why we are facing the outbreak in many countries now.
Speaking of which, talk to us about what is currently ongoing in Madagascar. I know I gave you some numbers earlier in my introduction, but what is the status right now?
Yes, the measles outbreak started in Madagascar on 3 September 2019 and was officially declared in October. And from the beginning of the disease to 20 February, a few days ago, we have already reported 82,000 cases and 923 deaths. So the situation is very, very concerning here regarding the magnitude of this outbreak. The outbreak is now reported in 100 districts within the 140 districts of the country. And you can see that it's a nationwide outbreak we are facing now in Madagascar. We already, by analyzing the data, we see that around 64% of people of cases are not vaccinated against measles. And the disease is affecting mainly people aged from 1 year to 14 years. This is due to the lack in immunity of that we report in the last 10 years in the country.
Okay. So you mentioned access to vaccine as one of the challenges, right? One of the problems. Am I correct?
Yes.
So this leads me to you, Martha. I know, I mean, the Short That Life campaign is an initiative by the UNF to help communities have access to vaccine. To what extent is access to measles vaccine a problem? A country like Madagascar going through this outbreak, it's really mind-boggling. What is the problem with
question.
That?
Thank you. It's a great question. Well, let me start by saying, yes, Shot at Life is all about providing access to vaccines for, you know, mothers and children and people around the world, particularly in low-resource countries. Right now, as I'm speaking, I'm talking to you from Capitol Hill. We have 125 volunteers from across the U.S. that volunteer their time specifically to advocate for this issue, because providing access to vaccines is not only a morally right thing to do, it also makes great economic sense. So as I said, we have made tremendous progress against measles. Measles deaths are down 79% since the year 2000, measles deaths around the world. But there are still many areas where access is tricky. So you can imagine a vaccine needs to be kept at a certain temperature. So there's the whole challenge of the cold chain, making sure the vaccines are delivered and kept at that temperature. There are many places, and I know I have friends that have been to Madagascar, and they talk about how the roads are often difficult. It's difficult to access people that live in certain remote areas. What I'm excited about, though, is there has been a lot of innovation. It can't come fast enough. When I hear that there are more than 900 deaths in Madagascar, it really saddens me. But there are initiatives like the Zipline Drone Initiative in Rwanda, where they will be delivering medicine and soon vaccines through drones, because there are some areas that are just extremely difficult to reach. But we need to all stay the course and make sure, as Dr. Vincent very aptly pointed out, we need 95% coverage to have this herd immunity. So we need to keep pushing on the access and make sure that we as international organizations are working closely with ministries of health, and we're thinking through creative problem solving for how to actually deliver vaccines.
And Dr. Vincent, when we talk about access to vaccine in the case of Madagascar, perhaps you touched on it, but I wanted you to expand a little more, if you will. What is the most critical aspect? Is it funding to get this vaccine in the country, or is it distribution within the country, or is it acceptance of mothers and fathers vaccinating their children? Talk to us about what is the most critical aspect of access to vaccine.
Okay. I think that regarding routine immunization, because I need to explain that vaccination is provided to people through different strategies, mainly two major strategies, what we call routine immunization, with a regular program scheduled by the country to provide access to vaccination to people, and the supplementation activity, social campaign that we can organize based on certain criteria. So regarding routine immunization, I don't have feedback regarding difficulty to access to vaccines. But what we see in the country is that there are a lot of stock out of vaccine in some health facilities. The vaccine can be available at national level, but due to distribution issues, there are stock out in health facilities. Secondly, we have many health facilities in Madagascar where there is just one health worker. And it's difficult to one person to handle all the package of intervention that need to be implemented in one health facility, including vaccination. So the outreach services to reach people who are far from the health facilities are not properly implemented. In addition, we have a lot of hard-to-reach areas where it is very difficult to implement outreach services. And in addition, we have a lack of supervision of health workers by the regional or national level. And all these situations lead to the incorrect implementation of the routine immunization. That's why we have a low, very low coverage assessed by WHO and UNICEF as of 58% in 2017 in the country.
Okay, Dr. Vincent, thank you for enlightening us on what is happening now and in Madagascar. And we will definitely look further in solutions after we take a short break. It's time for a short break. Dr. Vincent, Martha, stick around. It is so good to have you on the phone, the both of you, to discuss this important topic. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
And welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic on Health Chat is measles. Joining us via phone from Antananarivo, Madagascar, is Dr. Vincent Sojinou with the World Health Organization. And joining us via phone from Washington right here is Martha Ribou with the Shot at Life campaign, a campaign of the United Nations Foundation. So now, Martha, coming back to you, you talked about some of your advocates who went on Capitol Hill to advocate for the campaign. How is this received? How do policymakers grasp the need to make vaccination a priority, not only in the United States, but globally?
Thank you for the question. And I would like to clarify that we actually only talk about immunization globally.
Okay.
That's where our focus is. And we have found that this is absolutely a bipartisan issue. We have two ways to talk about it. You know, there are some lawmakers who simply understand that it's the right moral, ethical thing to do to make sure that parents around the world have access to protect their children the same way parents in this country do. When we have the science, we should make it available to as many people as possible. And then we also always have the economic argument. So it has been proven that $1 invested in vaccination has a $44 economic return. So when you consider children don't get sick, they're able to stay in school, their parents don't need to miss work, The $44 return for $1 really makes great economic sense, and sometimes that's what you need to talk with lawmakers. Can also point out that in the recent outbreaks in the U.S., in Washington State alone, it has cost them more than $1 million so far for this outbreak. I think the CDC traces sometimes up to $100,000 per case in the investigative work that they need to do. So certainly, if we do not, as I said, if we do not protect children from these diseases around the world, they do come to the U.S. and at great financial cost.
Okay. All right. So, Dr. Vincent, now What is the WHO doing on the ground to help Madagascar really contain this outbreak, which is really national? I mean, 100 districts out of 140, that's definitely national, and it's really, really critical and concerning. So what is being done down on the ground?
Okay. WHO is playing a leading role to support the Madagascar country in the management of this outbreak. When the outbreak was officially declared, WHO has assessed the risk of this outbreak and graded the event as grade 2 of the emergency response framework. Then an incident management system was put in place, and logistical, human, and financial support are being provided to the country for the management of the outbreak. So far, WHO has deployed more than 90 field experts in the country to support the response. WHO has already disbursed around $800,000 to support the country. WHO has supported the country to mobilize funds from other donors, such as Measles and Rubella Initiative, Gavi Alliance, African Development Bank. And WHO is also coordinating partners to support the country through a weekly coordination meeting for W implementation, a cartography of the partners who is doing what and where to avoid duplication and lead to efficient use of the available resources. WHO has supported the country to implement the two first phase of the reactive vaccination in 47 districts with a total of 3.2 million people who have been vaccinated. So WHO is doing its best to support the country, but we are still facing few challenges.
Okay. And Martha, talk to us a little bit about the Shot at Life campaign model. When you go in a country and in a community, how does this work? So you go, you give us the example of what happened. You went to Capitol Hill, you advocated, and then what happened? How does this translate to countries and communities in developing countries?
Thank you. I'm happy to make the connection. So the work that we do, we are first and foremost what we call a grassroots advocacy campaign, because the U.S. is one of the largest funders of the U.N., and that all the work that we do at the U.N. Foundation is in support of the U.N. We do not do any work on the ground ourselves, Shot at Life. We support the tremendous work of the WHO and of UNICEF and Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, around the world. And part of how we support them is through doing this critical advocacy. As I said, the U.S. is one of the biggest funders of those organizations. So we make sure that the funding stays there, that it's robust funding, and that lawmakers understand the critical importance of funding these agencies and the important work that they're doing around the world. We also do some partnership building, and we raise some funds ourselves, which we then grant out to WHO, UNICEF, and Gavi, so that their people doing the critical work on the ground have the resources that they need.
So how challenging, or maybe not, has it been the past few years to raise fund, meet your goal, or maybe exceed if that's the case, given what has been happening over the past few years? We went through a financial crisis, then there were some restrictions in terms of funding, global gag rule. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned earlier, something that's tremendous about vaccines is that they remain a bipartisan issue. So being here on Capitol Hill, it doesn't matter for meeting with a Republican or a Democrat. The value of vaccines is very well understood. And I said sometimes it's in the strict financial sense. They understand that vaccination, you know, like the measles vaccine is less than a dollar a dose, whereas when we talk about having the measles come and have outbreaks in the U.S. and it can cost upwards of $1 million, it's very easy to make the financial argument. And I would say, too, that because Shot at Life and the UN Foundation have been working for years doing advocacy, we've really created a lot of trust and some great friendships and partnerships on Capitol Hill. So when we come, lawmakers and their staff know that we have our facts, that our champions and our volunteers know what they're talking about, so they're very well received. And again, as I said, it's the two sides. It's the moral, ethical right thing to do, plus it's tremendous. It makes sense economically. So we have been actually quite well received in a time where there have been tremendous budget cuts and threats of budget cuts to foreign aid. All of our accounts have stayed at level funding. We haven't lost any funding. And we've had some really great luck raising funds. So we're fortunate in that we have not been affected by the financial crisis or even this more nationalistic mood that is present with some lawmakers right now across the U.S.
Okay. And Dr. Vincent, you explained how WHO is working on the ground in partnership with countries and other partners to tackle this epidemic. Have there been any clear improvement? Because when you tell me 100 districts, and then people that the rate of death is seems to be increasing. So, have there been any improvements at all, or will it get worse? Because before it gets better.
Okay, no, there are some improvements in the management of this response. The first improvement is that since 4 weeks now, we are seeing that the number of cases is decreasing week to week. So there is a decreasing trend who is being reported from the ground. The second improvement is that now the case management is free of charge, and this will lead to the financial access of affected communities to adequate and safe care. And this will also have a positive impact on the decreasing of the number of deaths. Other area here of improvement is that we were able to mobilize and to secure funds for all vaccines needed to implement the campaign. So by now, we have all the vaccines we need to vaccinate in all the countries. This is also an improvement. We have a lot of partners who are available to support the country. This is also important to be highlighted because now the partners are working together and are supporting properly the country to the control of this outbreak. But we need to be cautious because despite the fact that the number of cases is decreasing, the attack rate of the outbreak is still high. The number of reported cases is still high. So we need to be cautious and continue to implement the response pillars to be able to control effectively this outbreak.
Okay. And Martha, let me get your reaction to this issue. It has been a bit of a controversy, a real controversy, actually, when it comes to vaccination and some parents who refuse to vaccinate their children, which has been attributed to one of the reasons why the measles outbreak is ongoing in some community in the United States. What is your reaction to this?
Well, you know, what I would say is that I have traveled to places where mothers will walk literally for miles, for hours, to bring their children to be vaccinated because they understand the value of vaccines. In many cases, they have seen or lost children of their own die from measles. So, you know, Shot at Life is really about making sure everybody has access. I understand a lot of parents feel that it's a personal choice between themselves and their children, but I think Madagascar is a really great case for us to see. And what's happened in Washington State and New York State, this is a real disease. You know, vaccines are sometimes a victim of their own success. Because the measles vaccine was so efficient, we didn't see the disease, so people think they don't need to vaccinate against it. But we're seeing it's a very smart
Very smart move.
And it will do a lot of damage.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, I have to leave it there. We're running out of time. Martha Rubu with the UN Foundation Shot at Life campaign. Thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Vincent Soginu, I appreciate your time with the WHO in Madagascar. And thanks to all of
you,
listeners. I'm Lenore Mudu in Washington with producer.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz.